How long after you had worked with Jack did you make the decision that you wanted to go it alone?
Well, about a year after we got together, about a year after we began the nightclub work, I married Brenda. I met her within that year and was engaged to her during that year, and then we got married. And I had begun by then to think more seriously about my own future and my trip, whatever it was going to be. And I knew I was going to be a single. And I'd say halfway. Jack and I stayed together 2 years. I'd say about halfway during that time, I began to think about it more seriously. And I was pretty open with Jack about it the whole time. In fact, before that second year was up, I was in Dayton, where Brenda was from, where I met her. Jack and I were off. He was in Boston. I was hanging around with Brenda in Dayton. Peter, Paul, and Mary were scheduled to come into the club where she worked, the Racket Club, where I met her. And Peter had some illness, and they couldn't make it, and they had two nights open. And I was pressed into service. And this was very unexpected. Now, so I took material of Jack's and mine that I was able to do singolo, and I took some other things I had been preparing for myself and managed to get through two nights of it. So that's a sign that I was ready.
Right. This material at this particular stage of your career, is this what one would title, frame, common denominator comedy? Was it something that appealed to the masses?
No. With Jack and I, and the stuff I did coming out of Jack and my time together, was, for its time, very topical and had an edge, had a political commentary involved in it. We took stands, we took positions. We did jokes about racism, about the Ku Klux Klan, about the John Birch Society, about religions and fringe religions, about charities and how they are not all on the up and up. We had a routine called Captain Jack and Jolly George, which was about giving kids heroin kits.
Well, we're not talking Henny Youngman jokes now. We're talking some sophisticated material.
Yeah, we felt connected to that sort of that movement that was starting then, that Lenny Bruce and Mort Saul had certainly been the best exponents of, and that other young people were trying to do coffee house comedy more than nightclub comedy.
Okay, so you get out on your own and you start doing your own material and so forth. Now, certainly, well, I shouldn't decide that. Was the material you began to do as a single and begun and done well enough, obviously, to get you into Vegas now?
Yeah.
Was that the same kind of material?
No, there began to be a change. I came out of coffee houses. Even though Jack and I worked a lot of, quote, nightclubs, we were more or less coffee house oriented. And
the coffee house audience were made up of,
well, they had a more intellectual bent. They weren't all intellectuals, obviously, but there were people who liked jazz and folk music. They were generally left-wing politically and appreciated risk-taking in an act of any kind.
Okay, and a lot of college people?
College, yes. And the college-informed kind of intellect, post-college.
Fine. Okay, go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay. So we came out of that, and we did a lot of nightclubs too. See, we worked the Playboy circuit, which is certainly the total antithesis of coffee house. Now, so when Jack and I broke up, I took over these, because he didn't want to do a single, I took over these Playboy dates. And I took over and did certain nightclub situations that Jack and I had where I was able to go back as a single. And I didn't do much coffee house stuff. And then I hit a kind of a dip. Now, this is 63 and 64, and I felt I had to take a stand somewhere. And I felt I had to find a spot in New York, which I did, the Café Orgogo on Bleecker Street. And I stayed there for like 2 years, even though I traveled some, and I went to other little places. On and off, I spent about 2 years in that place, a week at a time, a month at a time, 2 days at a time, off for 7 days, on for 12 days, off for 3 months, back for 2 months, you know, all this stuff. Just trying to work, use it as a laboratory. And to get my little piece together for Merv or Mike Douglas. Those were the entree shows. You didn't jump right to the Tonight Show. That wasn't as simple. You had to have some a little bit of background, even though you were unknown, to get on there. But as far as Merv was concerned, he would take brand new people, and Mike Douglas was sort of like the same situation in Philadelphia. I hung around the Cafe Ogogo through 1965. I got my Merv interview in May 65, and it's in July 65 I was on his show. So 63 and 4 and 5, I did a lot of club dates. I did a lot of, you know, $50 for Brown's Hotel in the Catskills, the Music Teachers of Suffolk County, all this kind of one-nighter, what we, as you know, call club dates. I also did an occasional week at a nightclub out of town where I could afford to go and then where I wouldn't spend as much to get there as I would make. But I stayed around New York and I stayed in that atmosphere and I worked on my act. And I was aiming toward television. So the material, answering this question now, the material's orientation toward confrontation and politics, which I had a little earlier, began to soften and become diluted because I was looking for the mass audience through television.
In order to appear on television,
right.
You had
in
to
in order to further my career, because acting was at the back end of this whole load when I was 15.